This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 141. We are finally ending the Superman franchise watch through. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, so we made it to the final film of the entire Superman franchise watch through. We got to Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice from 2016. Nate, how long has it been since you've seen that film?
I watched clips of it when we did the Should You Upgrade?
Yeah.
And in full, it's been a few years. And it's not one that I watch. I haven't seen it as much as Man of Steel, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's been a while. When I put that one on, and I saw the IMAX version when it came out. So whenever that version came out, which was what, last year? Because they did
it was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so I guess a year and a half ago. And then I rewatched it again because I brought the 3-pack with all the movies. So yeah, other than that, I remember watching this in the theater. So that I will say, I seen this in the theater like twice.
Same. Yeah.
In the theater, but not the ultimate edition. So that's what we're going to review now, is the ultimate edition cut, not the theatrical cut with the less than 30 or 45 minute cut into it. We're watching the actual added footage into the film. But with that said, we're going to give you guys our box office numbers for this film. We're going to give you guys the Rotten Tomato scores and then right into our actual movie review of the film. So with that said, let's start it off with the box office numbers for Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice from 2016. Domestic, $330 million.
Right.
International, $543 million. For a worldwide total of $873 million on a budget of $250. Nate, your thoughts?
This is what I like to call, you should say what you want, this is what I like to call the Batman stimulus package. Because when it was just Superman, the first movie was in the 600 range, throw in, add some Batman to it, and all of a sudden we got an almost $900 million total. But it made a lot of money. Even the same thing with marketing, it probably cleared at least $500 million, I would assume, or at least $400 million.
I agree with you. I still don't understand the whole box office debate here, saying that it's not successful, because to me, these numbers are a successful movie. It made the money back, which by a lot, like triple or more. And they paid back the budgeters, if we really think about it, the marketing for this film. Yeah. So I cannot see why everyone's saying this is a flop, because it didn't cross that $1 billion mark. I mean, not every movie needs to hit $1 billion to be successful. We've proven that on this channel with a lot of hit movies. So you cannot tell me no.
That's true. And I don't think any of the DC movies were financial failures. Even the Suicide Squad, everybody talks about that movie. Oh, it's so terrible. It did so bad. It made like $700 million or something crazy. It made 300 something in the U.S. So I agree with you.
Yeah. All right. So with that said, let's see what the critics and the audience have to say about this controversial movie.
Well, here's where if you want to point fingers to something, you can say it critically is pretty bad. This movie has a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. From critics, they did not like it. Audiences did like it better, 63%. So more than half liked it. It's down from Man of Steel's 75% audience score. Though. I mean, both are down.
I mean, we kind of figured. I mean, when it comes to superhero movies, again, we have not tackled much superhero movies here. So we're just doing it from the ones that we've done so far with the Supermans, the Black Panthers. And
then we got Spider-Man later this year. And I think that's kind of it.
Yeah, which is going to be all high. I could put money down that they all not going to be as low as these DC movies. For some reason, probably. There's a trend with DC movies that they just have to be below the fresh threshold. Yeah. But look, it is what it is. All right, Nate. So when I host the show, Nate goes. So let's start it off with the lead character. Now, there's two of them in this film. Nate decided to, and I kind of agree with him, this is not a Batman franchise, which we'll add this movie into the Batman when we do Batman. But for now, we're just going to tackle Clark / Superman, Henry Cavill, for the second time as Superman.
Yeah, when we do our Batman series, we'll redo this movie from the perspective of Batman.
Yeah.
So certain scores may not change, but lead character, things like that. You know what? He's not, I don't like him in this movie. I don't like him. I don't hate him. But if you thought he was bland in the first in Man of Steel, he's like so more worse in this movie as far as blandness. The Lois Lane love story is worse in this movie. Like he comes home and she's in the bathtub and he like gets in the water with his clothes on. I guess this means he really loves her a lot and he saves her. More times, all she does is get in trouble and he has to save her. That's pretty much their relationship at this point. And to be honest, the storyline, I would say, is still Superman-centric, even though Batman is in this. You know, if you look at the beginning scene, it opens. It is on Bruce Wayne, but it's events from Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And Clark's Superman is the one that's really kind of, I guess, on trial, for lack of a better term, because there is like a court scene in this. So it is still a Superman-centric story. And in that, he's just like boring in this. He's so boring in this. I don't know what's going on. You know, I don't think he's terrible. So I gave him a 3, but I liked him way better in Man of Steel. And in Man of Steel, he had some issues. And on top of that, especially this version we watched, there's more Clark Kent doing journalism stuff, which actually was a little bit, that's the reason why I gave him a 3. Some of that was okay. Like when he's looking into the Batman and trying to, then it was, at least he had some life. But as Superman this time, he's boring. Like, he's just constantly standing there, stoic, doesn't really, except when he's going, Martha! And then that's the only time he has any kind of, like, inflection in his voice. So yeah. I give him a 3.
You know, I agree. I think this movie did, like, a reversal between the two characters. It didn't work for me. I know I'm a big defender for this movie, and I'm going to talk about it why in the overall. But when it comes to the characters, again, we're not doing Batman, which I would love to do. But in terms of Superman, I do agree with you. He is such a reversal. I wasn't too crazy with Clark again in this movie. I do agree. We do get the journalism point of view, which I thought it was pretty cool. Like you said, he's in Gotham City and he's, you know, investigating. And I'm like, yo, this is cool. They should, you know, make it more. And and I can understand why they fight, but they didn't. They just threw it there to throw it there. The Lois Lane situation, I don't know why they just, if this was the case, they should have just thrown Lana Lang in here instead of Lois and introduced Lois in another movie. And they meet for the first time because I didn't like it. The whole ending, even the ending where she miraculously shows up when he's about to stab the crap out of Superman. And she's like, that's his mother's name. And I'm like, what? The helicopter dropped you off. Like, where did you know what these people are? Like, and
which is the second movie this happened in. Because if you remember in Man of Steel, when they're in that like bank or whatever, she magically runs in right when he like kills the guy. It's like, how does she always, they always have like GPS on each other. They magically know where each other is all the time.
Actually, you're absolutely right. Because she was in the middle of the rubble of Metropolis. And all of a sudden she ends up in the downtown train area where he's about to kill General Zod.
Yeah.
Then in this situation, the helicopter drops him off in front of Wayne Manor. I think that's Wayne Manor. Or something else. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's just an abandoned city. She literally found where, like, they're at fighting. And I'm like, come on. Again, it's just nitpick, but I did not like her. It's just, I just feel like the characters that they made good in the first movie, I felt like they introduced more characters into this film, so they had to stretch it out. And it didn't work for me. It did not work for me. This was more of a Batman movie than a Superman movie. That's why all I will say in terms of the Batman is that this felt more of a Batman movie than like a sequel to a Superman movie. It was just like a hybrid that didn't need to be done, to be honest with you.
And you know what's funny? I watched this with people who had never seen it. Two people. And, you know, I like to watch movies sometimes like first time just to see what they think. Yeah. And one of them said, how does Superman, and this is non-comic, you know, not comic book nerd, they just like movies and they've never seen it. How does Superman always know where Lois Lane is and yet he allows his mom to get he never knows where his mom is. She's always in trouble. She's always in danger. She gets kidnapped. She gets taken here. She gets taken there. Lois Lane falls off any building anywhere on Earth. And he magically catches her every single time. I say, I don't have an answer for you. That's a good point. I have no idea.
I totally agree with you. And that was another point that I was going to bring up. Because this made no sense. Unless he just has super hearing just for her, then I'm like, that's kind of messed up to be Martha, bro. Because if you, your son cannot hear you when she's coming out of a diner, then it's like, yo, that sucks. At least in the TV show, the Superman TV show, Lois, Superman and Lois, he gave all of the family members, the kids and him, a little beacon thing. So when they press it, he automatically hears it and just shoots there. So I'll say that kind of makes sense.
Like
in this movie, it makes it seem like you're absolutely right. He's halfway getting his ass whooped by Doomsday and he stops midair. And he goes,
room.
I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, come on. This dude was depressed. Lex Luthor throws her off of skyscraper and all of a sudden he miraculously shows up and then kisses. So I was like, you know, anyway,
but he had no idea where his mom is.
No, he doesn't. But I gave it a three. I gave it a three also. Okay. Main villain in this one is the first time they introduce into the DCEU universe, Lex Luthor.
So I know this is a controversial character amongst
everybody.
Fans. Yeah. People. I would say I do not hate his portrayal as much as some other people might. Do I think it's great? No. Don't take my words and say, oh, Nate loves Jesse Eisenberg. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is I don't hate him as much as everyone else seems to hate. I think he's okay. I think it's an interesting take. It's Lex Luthor, but it's a junior. It's his dad, you know, because he's always talking about his dad. So the way I always watch this movie is like his dad was the bald one. Like his dad was Gene Hackman. You know what I mean? And I know it's not, but he's like, my dad had all this money, my dad. And in my mind, I'm like, that's probably like the more of the Lex Luthor from the comics. And this is now his son who's still got all the money because he's inherited it and he has the same name. You know what I mean? But it's a different take. And I don't think it's terrible. He looks like the Riddler from Batman Forever. He has like long hair. And like, he looks like Jim Carrey before he gets his, you know, his Riddler haircut. And he's very quirky. A lot of ticks, a lot of nervous moving his hands and doing all this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, so the thing is, at times it doesn't work. But then there are scenes where I think it does work pretty good. I like the rooftop scene. I like when he's talking with Superman on the rooftop and he's like, your mom, he's like, where is she? And he's like, he's literally going to punch him. He's like, oh, if you do that, I don't know, she's going to die. And I like the way he describes it. And he's kind of, so it's such a mixed performance to me. I like Jesse Eisenberg as an actor. I love Zombieland. I thought he was really good in Social Network. It's not an actor thing. But some of the choices were odd and sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. So for me, a half and half performance goes right in the middle. I gave him a three. I think he's okay in the role. His plan, and this will get more to story, but his plan is not terrible. It's convoluted, but it's not terrible as far as getting rid of both guys pretty much. You know what I mean? All right, I get rid of Batman because Superman will kill him and I get rid of Superman because he killed Batman. You know what I mean? So it's not terrible. A three.
All right, let's get to Lex Luthor. Okay. I did not like Lex Luthor. It's not even comic book wise because I don't read much Superman. It's just that and I like your theory. If it is his son of Lex Luthor, like the original Lex Luthor, then I say, okay, pretty cool. But it still stunk because they didn't give us that, right? Like, I would have been funny if they had a photo of like Gene Hackman.
Oh, bald. That would have been.
Actually pretty cool. I don't like the quirkiness. That just drove me nuts. I was like, you know, I cannot take the woo-hoo-hoo. You know, when he's giving his speech in the party and then he starts to get angry. I'm like, okay, I don't mind that because he's like an evil genius. Right. And I'm like, that's cool. But there's certain things that it just irked me. And when he's giving the guy a Jolly Rancher in his mouth, I would have slapped the crap out of his hand, bro. He like
pushes it in his
mouth. Yeah, I'm like, what's wrong with you, bro? Like, clean your hands. Like, why would you put Jolly Rancher in some old man's mouth, you freaky dicky?
Yeah, it looks like he touched his lip, too. I don't like that.
I did not like that. And then he licked you.
Yeah, it's gross. Yeah, it's pretty gross. I agree. Dude, I hate that scene.
This scene is horrible. I was like, okay, I didn't mind him young. And I was like, all right, cool, arrogant. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Just didn't like the coordinate. And again, another movie where Lex Luthor knows how to operate dude's spaceships. I mean,
which brings me to another point.
So, he knew how to operate Superman's ship.
Not even that. So if you remember Man of Steel, I get on the ship. They can't do nothing. Those little robot people are like in control and, you know, mostly don't know what's going on. You're telling me. So one of the people I watched this with said, you're telling me the super advanced spaceship just uses fingerprint technology to open the door. Like he cuts off Zod's fingerprints and just puts his hand on a thing and it opens. It's like, really? It's just that easy? Just to cut off someone's hand and like super advanced technology and they're still using fingerprint scanners? Like, it's kind of weird.
And that's why it didn't make sense for me, because in the first Man of Steel, that ship operated with Superman's branded key.
His key.
Yeah, you put it in and then you push it and then everything, you know, his father popped up, the whole, you know, everything operated. You're right. This movie operated with, and I was like, when the hell did General Zod have time to put a fingerprint scanner in a ship that had nothing to do with it?
Wasn't even his ship.
No, it wasn't. So I was like, already a plot hole on its own.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that he was the creator of Doomsday, which did not make sense to me at all. He knew, again, I don't mind him asking the artificial intelligence, You know, where did he come from? Give me knowledge. I'm okay with that because so far, me and you covered all these Supermans, and Lex Luthor did it in every movie from Return, Superman Returns, Superman 2. Yeah. He acts and they gave him information. I don't mind that. This movie never indicated how he knew Clark was Superman. Look, I'm going to end it with this. This dude knew the secret identity of Bruce is Batman, Clark is Superman, Diana Prince is Wonder Woman, Barry Allen is the Flash, yeah. Cyborg, and Aquaman. And I was like, wow. I said, you know what? He's a two. A fat two. I couldn't take it. That made no sense to me, dude. I don't know what you think of that. Is that even possible? Like,
so the thing is, and that's why maybe I was just saving it for story. There's a lot of things that you could, we'll say holes you can drive a truck through. we'll put it that way. But we'll get to it. But I don't disagree with you. No.
All right. So you gave it a three. Yeah. I gave it a fat two. Action sequence.
I mean, okay. I gave it a four. Now, the action in Man of Steel is better and more abundant than the action in this movie. We watched the ultimate cut, and I kid you not, there's at least an hour to an hour and 10 minutes where no action happens. And that's unacceptable for me. In a movie like this, where you have two heavyweight characters, all-time comic book characters, and you put verses in the title, and it takes so long to get to that fight, that's okay. You could build up to it, but there should be more smaller action scenes sprinkled throughout, and there's just not. You have the beginning of the movie, which is just Man of Steel, like plus. We'll call it Man of Steel plus, right? Because it's the same, the building's falling and this guy driving a truck and whatever, but it's Man of Steel plus. And then other than that, like, there's no Superman action scenes in this movie. He doesn't fight anyone till him and Batman fight, you know, at the end. And that's disappointing to me because they finally nailed the Superman action in Man of Steel and then squander it in the very next movie. You know what I mean? Now, granted, when they do fight, it's cool. I guess it's cool. I like how they did it. You know, they did what they could because really Superman is OP and Batman is a guy. So, you know, a lot of kryptonite stuff, the big suit. It works. It's okay. The Batmobile scene in this is really good. You know, where he has the Batmobile and he's just like wrecking through the shipyard and all that kind of stuff. I like that. That's fun. The Batman warehouse scene is great. That's a great action scene. I love the combat in it, the fighting in it, the choreography, the camera work. That's all great. Pretty much my four goes for those scenes because the Doomsday fight is a cluster. It is like big monster, you know, three people. Wonder Woman comes in. That's a cool moment. I do like the moment where she shows up and like, blocks the thing. But it's almost like there was too much to juggle. Like Batman does barely anything in the Doomsday fight. And he can't really do much. You know what I mean? And then it's mostly Wonder Woman and Superman. And then even then, like, they're just, I don't know. It's not bad action at all. It's good. So that's why I gave it a four. But there's not enough. And it's not as good as Man of Steel. Man of Steel had better action to me. And that was a five. This is lower. It's a four.
Yeah. When it comes to your action, I gave it a five. I don't know. I guess I'm a sucker because I liked it. And I agree with you. That ending scene, Batman should have just went and got the scepter, which I never understood why he didn't. Instead of standing there, he should have just went and got it. Yeah.
He got a jet.
Made no damn sense why he didn't go get it, but that's another plot.
Go run. Go get it.
It made no damn sense, but I was like, it is what it is. I gave it a five. The opening sequence, and again, I'm not adding the Batman whatever, but I have to because this is the action and it's part of the story.
Action section counts. Yeah.
So the opening sequence of Bruce driving through a Superman demolishing Metropolis is like one of my favorite to opening up a superhero movie. Because it is so badass. You get to see how an older Bruce Wayne does not care about life anymore. He's just going in to save his friend Jack. I loved it. I was like, oh man, I was eating it up. Thought it was really good. The warehouse scene with the Batmobile, I love that Batmobile. I think it looks awesome. And that's the scene that everyone's, oh, he's killing everybody. I give two shits. It is awesome. This bad guy.
He'll kill a lot of people.
Yeah, he destroyed everybody. He does. It's 50 calibers
and everything.
Yeah, he had 50 calibers on top of his car. Like, but I loved it. I was like, they deserve to die. And I was like, cool. And he's getting the green kryptonite. And I was like, yo, this is cool. Superman came. He goes, when that's, you know, I don't want to catch you again when that's the signal shines. And, you know, he goes, do you bleed? And he goes, damn.
You will.
Yeah. And he goes off. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I felt like the fact is the problem is between the fight between Superman and Batman. I have a feeling they did not know how to end the damn thing. Because right. honestly, there was no... First of all, that fight would have never happened if he really listened to him and said, they captured my mom. Can you just help me? But Bruce was freaking...
Things to say, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce could have just really listened to him, but he was just so angry at everything. He just let him go through the trials of every gadget. But anyway, that fight scene to me was cool because you finally get to see Batman versus Superman. But honestly, it didn't do nothing much for me because I kind of knew no one's going to lose the battle. Isn't that one of those things? But yeah. The ending situation between Doomsday and Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, I liked it to the point where Doomsday started to have the impulse bombs. I was like, when the hell does he could do this?
Didn't he's releasing EMPs situation. Left and right.
Yeah, it was just like too much. That, to me, was way too much. I liked the fight when Wonder Woman joined in. First of all, I think this is Zack Snyder knows how to shoot Wonder Woman. I'll just say that right now.
I liked her in it. Yeah, she was good.
She was way better here than I'd seen in... I'll give the benefit of the doubt of Wonder Woman 1 because he did help with that movie. But Wonder Woman 2 just got awful compared to 1 in this one. Like, they just changed her. I liked it. I was all right, but you're right. Batman does, you know, the Dark Knight comic book cover when he jumps on the roof and then you see the lightning crashes and then he just... That's the cover of the actual comic, which I was like, that is awesome. I was screaming like, yeah. But you're right. There was a scene in the movie where he literally is standing there and sees Wonder Woman and Superman fighting.
Yeah, he's just standing there.
He has the gun. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, you could just go get the scepter, bro. Like, just go get it.
Make yourself useful.
Yeah. You know, sometimes things like that just did not work for me because I was just like, dude, you could have just went quick. But I gave it a 5. You gave it a 4. Storyline.
All right. Listen, I haven't seen this in a while. I always tell people I like this movie and we'll get to overall in a second, but this is a mess. This movie is a mess from the script perspective. It is a big mess. There's so many things that don't make sense. There's so many things that don't make sense. There's so many things that are confusing. The movie's 3 hours long. And with a 3-hour runtime, you should have very flushed out, very easy, you know, not easy, but by the end of it, you should be like, okay, I know exactly what happened. And I find myself every time I watch this version, which is this maybe the second time, I'm like, I still don't really get how they got to certain things in this movie. And I don't think the movie cares. I don't think they care to explain it. I don't think they will. You know what I mean? The investigation into each other, like Batman into Superman and Superman into Batman, is one of those things where it's like, wow, you know, I like what you mentioned on the rooftop scene where you said Batman wouldn't let him explain because he was so mad and stuff. I looked at it the opposite. Superman does the worst job of trying to explain that I've ever seen in a movie. He comes in, he says, we shouldn't do this. Why? Stuff happens and then he breaks it. He's like, wait, stop. It's like, just say it, bro. Just say, will you fly in the air, fly a little bit higher than all his gadgets and gizmos, say what you got to say and let him listen. You know what I mean? Like, will he hear him and listen properly? Maybe not. But probably, because if all it took was him saying Martha, then it would have worked. You know what I mean? So I hate that scene because it's like, dude, this would have been solved if Superman just, he's a reporter, man. He should know. He should be good with words. Just say what's going on. This is a piece of cake. But no, he doesn't. So then they fight. The Martha scene, it doesn't matter. I get people hate it and I hate it too. It's very dumb. Like that is a dumb way to end a fight. You got Batman standing over him with a spear. He cuts his little face. He says, I'm going to make you bleed. He does a little slice right here. And the guy's like, save Martha. And he's like, why did you say Martha? Why would you say that? Save her. And then Lois Lane magically walks in. That's his mom. Oh, and now we're friends because, he has a mom and I had a mom. And it's like, this is BS, bro. Now, before that, there's things I like. But the Lex Luthor stuff, some of it's pretty, the ship stuff doesn't make sense. Politics stuff, the court trial makes no sense. It makes no sense. Like, it makes sense from the perspective of, Metropolis got wrecked and they, you know, feel like they should have some sort of control or whatever over Superman and all this stuff. But like the bombing thing where the guy in the wheelchair like blows it up. How would anyone possibly think, and the movie wants you to think this, that Superman would be involved in a bombing that he was standing in the courtroom for? You know what I mean? Like you would think he wouldn't show up and then it would blow up and they'd be like, wow, he must have been in on it. But he was there and then he helped save people. So, and after that, they're still like, well, did Superman have something to do with it? It's like, I can't comprehend some of the stupidity here. I got to give the story I have to give it a 2 overall. It is not good. It's not good. And it's not a 1 bad. It's slightly better because it's intriguing. I almost want to watch the regular version again because I know this added a lot of the back and forth between them, like investigating each other. There's more of that, but I don't know if I needed more of it. I almost want to go back and watch I don't even remember what happens in the regular version. Like this is the version that's in my mind. So maybe I'll give that one a 3 because they cut some of trim the fat off, but goodness gracious, and I know you're going to go even more with the Lex Luthor stuff, but I agree with you. That was dumb. He knows everything on earth. And he still has he should have even come up with an even better plan if he had all that information, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to go all crazy into this. I don't want to hold this up for long, but I will say is in terms of the storyline, I didn't like it at all. I thought the storyline was very stale, very dry. Like a dry meat when you eat it. Like it was just horrible meat.
It was just rotted jerky.
Yeah, rotted jerky. Like it didn't go like with the movie. The beginning of the beginning of the film was the only light at the end of this darkness of this tunnel. Because it continued from Man of Steel and you go, wow, this is pretty cool. But then it just took a nosedive into some other
Africa stuff? Like what is this? Why are we here?
So this is the thing I did not like about these things. It was way too many plot points all over the place. Lex Luthor sets up knowing that Superman is going to save Lois Lane. So what he did was he basically set him up to kill an African tribe, which made no damn sense because they were torturing. First of all, everyone's seen that when he shoots his heat vision, people melt.
Right.
They had bones there.
Right,
I was just like, come on, put 2 to 2 together. It did not make sense to me. They had drones all over the place in Africa. And you mean to tell me there's no drones picked up that their own mercenaries were shooting the other guys? Absolutely did not make sense. Superman do not shoot bullets. So like, how did they, again?
There would be bullets in those bodies. It's not, there's autopsies. Yeah. This is not difficult to figure out.
It's so stupid. Like, honestly, dude, and I bet they're going to say is that the reason why is because they torched it and the fires melted the bullet and you couldn't find it. I guarantee you it was so stupid.
Someone said that, I'll delete them.
I will slap them in the face. But so yeah, you have that stupid plot point, right? Yeah. Then you had the court situation, like you said, did not make sense to me. Like, people really thought that Superman went to Africa and killed everybody. Like, no, did not work. Then you have the Batman situation where he's branding everybody, which kind of I understand. And this is where a lot of people are like, yes, he did, but you got to see it from his point of view. I'm not going to get into it because this is not a Batman review, but he had his own flaws and why he started to brand people. And that's two different storylines going on top of each other. You got the court scene with Superman, Batman doing stuff that he normally doesn't do because Alfred tells him that. He goes, you're now doing new methods. So it didn't work. It's just, I feel like for a 3-hour movie, I feel like we had like 8 issue comic books rushed into one. And then Wonder Woman, all she did was go to the party looking hot.
She looked amazing. She gave an extra point for the action just for her showing up in the dress.
Oh, no, she was amazing in the red dress. And then, you know, she was amazing when they first met each other when she took the decoder.
Every time.
Yeah. I was like, okay. I was like, this is cool. But let's be honest between me and you. Did she really need it to be in this movie?
No.
Exactly. The movie had nothing to do with her just to set up Wonder Woman 1 with the photo.
They could have had the end credit scene be her sitting down at the computer and Bruce Wayne sent her the photo and then it shows the World War One photo and the music hits and now you're like, wow, they're going to now show what that was. That's all you needed. That's all I needed, to be honest.
Or you could have just had her break into Bruce's Batcave and download the photo.
Anything but what the... Oh, and the Flash thing. If you have no idea, like this is...
Nightmare.
Bruce Wayne sitting at a computer and he falls asleep and he has this crazy premonition dream. Then he wakes up from that dream and there's like Flash magically doing all this crazy stuff in front of him, which also seems like a dream because like there's like all this stuff. And then he like almost wakes up out of that one too. You know what I mean? It's like, was it real? Was it not real? What does this mean? Like it's convoluted.
It's very convoluted. And to be honest with you, it did not even need to be in a movie. Now, Nightmare Batman looked crazy. I love the way he looks designed.
Cool. Yeah, it's a cool scene, but it's like
pointless. Did not make sense. I totally agree with you. Even watching it now, I was just like, what the hell just happened? Like, how did he go into Nightmare? Like, and then
why would he dream of the Omega symbol? Why would he dream of Darkseid? How would he even know what that is? You know what I mean?
Flying bugs. Yeah. Why am I seeing flying bugs?
Cool. It looked cool as hell.
No, that should look all good in IMAX. Yeah. I was like, this. I mean, I'm telling you, people are sleeping. Zack Snyder could do a hell of a cinematography when it comes to comic book film. It looks very great, that scene. But anyway, I gave it a 2. I didn't like it. It's not a good storyline overall.
So this is a movie that I've defended in the past, and I probably still will. I don't hate this film. I think it's fine. I know we're scoring Superman, so this review is slightly skewed that way. Like, I like Batman in it, and I'm a Batman fan, more so than a Superman fan. So it's watchable to me. I agree with a lot of the issues people have with it. The Martha stuff is dumb. A lot of plot holes. A lot of how does Superman do this and not that? How does he save this person and not that person? Why is he so bored? You know what I mean? Like, I get all that and I agree with it. At the end of the day, the action is decent. It's good. It's good. It's not decent. It's good. The action is good. There's not enough in this version. So that's another reason why I might want to watch the regular version, because without the extra talking, there's probably more action scenes. You know what I mean? But the Lois Lane storyline with Superman is trash. Lois Lane's not that interesting in this movie. Superman's not that interesting in this movie. I give it it's a 3. I'm going to stay above the positive line. I've always, when I walked out of the theater, I remember I gave this a 7 out of 10. So it's come down a bit over time. This version, I don't think the ultimate cut adds anything that makes it any better. So this version honestly is a 6 out of 10 for me. So it's a 3 for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold this back. You said everything there. I do defend this movie. I will still continue to defend this movie, and I will still defend Batman. Superman, I'm not. They really dropped the ball on Superman.
Shoot him over a little bit.
Yeah, they should have just gave him an actual sequel instead of bringing in Batman v Superman. I think it did not work for me. They should have. That's a different topic for a different time. But he should have just got a real sequel, because now all the fans want a real sequel, and this is the sequel that they, you know, that should have never been done. But look, it is what it is. I gave the movie a 3. I was, like I said, I'll still defend it. The ultimate cut, it is what it is. If you like it longer, then it is. I just enjoy more the Batmans more than the Superman. I mean, I think everybody does. If you ask anybody, they'll bring up more Batman scenes than Superman.
Yeah, no one mentions the Superman scenes in this movie.
No. Ever. It's all the warehouse scene, or, you know, the Batwing
scene. Even Wonder Woman showing up gets more praise than Superman.
I agree. So look, I gave it a 3. I think it's a good movie. A 3 here is a good movie. It's not really bad. It's not that horrible. We've seen horrible.
Yes. Yeah, it's flawed. It has flaws. But I don't think it's god-awful or terrible. No.
No. Except Lex Luthor. But other than that, we're good.
So what do you think of this? Now, this is the end of our Superman watch through. So before we give our totals, I feel like this was a good opportunity, especially knowing what Justice League was going to be, for them to just make a straight up Doomsday Superman movie. Because you've already developed the action, the incredible action of him fighting Zod. Right. And you're telling me that you can't have the actual Doomsday, like the one from space that comes to Earth, maybe do some. So, you know, this in my head, this is what the Man of Steel sequel should have been. Superman's on Earth. They rebuilt Metropolis incredibly fast, by the way, if you notice. They're all back at work like nothing ever happened, even though the whole city got blown up, and they're back at work and Clark's working. And you show more Lois and him interactions, right? You build up that relationship. This is my pitch. Then intercut it with scenes of Doomsday being, you know, he's not on Earth yet, but you're getting glimpses of him, right? He has that cool suit, remember, in the comics where it's like all like, it looks like a garbage bag or whatever. And he's in the suit or whatever. And then halfway through the movie, he lands on Earth. And literally the second half of the movie is the fight between Doomsday and Superman. It's so easy. It writes itself. You still get the same ending. Superman dies. And Justice League literally picks up with the same storyline, if that's what you were going with, because Superman was dead anyway. This is not hard, but they didn't do that. Instead, they made a weird Doomsday that looks horrible. He looks like a big booger. And he looks like a big booger. all my friends I watched this with were like, this looks like this same like troll from like every movie ever. The same design as every troll that's ever been. And I'm like, yeah, it does. So they screwed it all up. Now I never want to see that movie that I just pitched, because they've ruined it with this one. But I think that would have been a better sequel. What do you think?
I like the idea, but instead of having him coming from the sky, they should do it how they do it in a TV show, how they introduce Bizarro. They should have Doomsday already inside the Earth, and he starts like a lot of earthquakes are happening, and
working his way up.
Yeah, I didn't know why, and then all of a sudden, boom! boom.
You see, can change his origins without changing him as a character.
No, it'll be the same thing, yeah. But it'll be, why are they having so many, these crazy earthquakes somewhere?
That would be cool too.
Yeah, in the middle of the, in the desert. So not, because you don't want the city yet. So it has to be like in the desert area, and then you could do some explaining, whatever.
Because if they were going to kill Superman this early on, yeah, in only the second movie, do it right. And then you still have Darkseid, Bizarro, Brainiac. So many villains that he could do later when he is alive again.
Dude, that could have worked. And you could explain it so easy. As a child, when his ship is going through.
Yeah.
Doomsday was right behind him and he landed in the desert and then he just flamented there.
Like,
he just broke his way down. And then at the end,
That's all I'm saying. That was easy. That was
could've
a piece worked. Of cake. But, you know.
Could have worked.
It is what it is. Okay, total points. I gave this a 15 out of 25.
Same with me, 15 out of a 25. Yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is. You heard our rant over the Superman side of this film. You guys will get the Batman side of it, but not this year. It might happen sometime, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. We do Batman, and we'll pick another Marvel series to do.
Yeah.
We do one of each every year. I think that'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Batman and another one. But yeah, other than that, guys, Nate, you know what to do.
Yeah, so that is, we're done. No more Superman movies for us for the next, at least forever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We've done them all. But moving forward, our next franchise, this is a franchise that you would think with an action podcast might have been done earlier. But we just have so many options. We're going to the Bourne movies.
Oh, yeah.
The Jason Bourne world. So we're getting some spy action movies with the Bourne identity. That's our next franchise. And then next week, our penultimate 70s movie, Walter Hill directed, The Warriors. That's what we're going to be doing next episode. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Bournes. We've been talking every time we do like a review, we always like have an analogy with the Bournes, and then now we're actually doing the Bournes. And then somehow we're going to do an analogy of James Bond. We're going to do something. Daniel Craig is going to end up somewhere in those talks. But other than that, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/UltraHDGeeks for the video version of the podcast. If you guys want to follow us and take us on the go with the audio version, you can search for Action Movie Guys on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Spotify. Again, if you guys want to follow us on our social media account, it's brand new and fresh. Head over to Instagram and search for UltraHDGeeks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.